time to take our weekly look at some of the stranger news stories making the news in the last couple of days. The Roman Colosseum is a giant oval amphitheater built almost 2,000 years ago, and whether it was the film Gladiator or postcards or your history books, I'm sure you've seen many pictures of it. Now, despite its age and a 14th century earthquake that knocked down the south side of the Colosseum, most of the 150-some-foot building is still standing. Like many ancient Roman structures, parts of it were constructed using a specific type of concrete. Scientists and engineers have long suspected a key to these buildings' durability is their use of this Roman concrete, as it's called. But exactly how this sturdy concrete has contributed to the architecture's strength has been a mystery to researchers across the globe. Now, though, a team of interdisciplinary researchers recently discovered a potential answer to why these ancient Roman buildings have been able to weather the test of time, while many modern concrete structures seem to crumble after a few decades. The answer? Self-healing concrete. The material has three components: limestone, volcanic material, and water. Now, for years, architects and historians have speculated that volcanic material is what makes it strong, which it does, but it does not explain the material's self-healing ability. What the researchers found was that the self-healing properties might simply be a kind of a manipulation of chemistry. The limestone in the concrete is likely the secret. When the ancient Romans made mortar, they heated up the lime to turn it into a substance called quicklime, a very reactive chemical sibling to limestone. And because they introduced water to the quicklime during mixing, the heat it produced set up a chemical foundation that could strengthen the concrete later. Now, when tiny cracks start to form later, the quicklime stops them from becoming bigger. When it rains, the lime reacts with the water to recrystallize as various forms of calcium carbonate, quickly filling the crack or reacting with the volcanic ash to heal the material. How clever was that? And certainly far greener than a lot of the building methods used these days. I think we might see a return of Roman concrete, thank you very much. Now, see, we're in Colombia. They're proposing transferring at least 70 hippopotamuses that live near Pablo Escobar's former ranch, descendants of four imported from Africa illegally by the late drug lord in the 1980s, back to India and Mexico as part of a plan to control their population. The hippos, which are territorial and weigh up to 3 tons, now put that in context, your average family car is about 1.5 to 2 max, are located 124 miles from Bogota along the Magdalena River. Environmental authorities estimate that there are about 130 hippos in the area, and their population could reach 400 in 8 years. I'd no idea hippos reproduce so easily and so well, but anyway, Escobar's Hacienda Napolos and the hippos have become sort of a local tourist attraction in the years since the kingpin was killed by police in 1993. When his ranch was abandoned, the hippos survived and reproduced in local rivers in favorable climatic conditions. Scientists warn that hippos do not have a natural predator in Colombia and are a potential problem for biodiversity, since their feces change the composition of the rivers and could impact the habitat of manatees and other creatures. Last year, Colombia's government declared them a toxic invasive species. I wonder how the hippos feel about that, but anyway, the plan to take them to India and Mexico has been forming for more than a year. The hippos could be lured with food into large iron containers and transferred by truck to the international airport. From there, they would be flown to India and Mexico, where there are sanctuaries and zoos capable of taking in and caring for the animals. Well, looks like hippo plan is a go. Malaysian reptile enthusiast Yap Ming Yang hopes visitors to his pet-friendly cafe will learn to appreciate snakes and lizards as much as they do furrier creatures such as dogs and cats. Bearded dragons, leopard geckos, and corn snakes are among the species resting in glass tanks stacked around Yap's cafe on the outskirts of Malaysia's capital, Kuala Lumpur, species he says that are commonly bred in the country. Customers, including children, hold and pet the scaly animals while ordering drinks and food. People only care about furry animals, cats and dogs, but people always leave out reptiles and snakes, said Yap, who has a background in environmental science and is part of a community of Malaysians with an interest in herpetology, the study of reptiles. So he says, I hope showing the public how interesting they are will cause them to have a better outlook on reptiles and less loved animals. So, if you want to share your latte with all sorts of snakes of various varieties, well, now you know where to go. I wonder what St. Patrick would have thought of it all. A German ice cream parlor has expanded its menu with a skin-crawling offering, namely cricket-flavored scoops with dried brown crickets on top. How's about that? Or does it float your boat? Anyway, the unusual confection is available at Thomas Michelino's store in southern Germany's town of Rothenburg. Michelino has a habit of creating flavors that are far outside Germans' typical preferences, indeed yours and mine as well, I would say, for strawberry, chocolate, banana, and vanilla ice cream. In the past, he's offered liver sausage and gorgonzola cheese ice cream. I wonder how that that business went, as well as gold-plated ice cream for €4. Just a snip. I'm a very curious person, he says, and I want to try everything. Michelino says I've eaten a lot of things, including a lot of strange things, and crickets were something I still wanted to try, also in the form of ice cream. That he can now produce the cricket flavor is due to a European Union regulation that allows the use of the insects in food. Under the regulation, crickets may be frozen, dried, or used as a powder. The EU already allows locusts and flower beetle larvae as a food additive, apparently. Michelino's ice cream is made of cricket flour, heavy cream, vanilla extract, and honey, and he tops it with dried whole crickets. It is a surprising yummy taste, he says, or at least that's what he wrote on Instagram. The creative vendor says that while some people are disgusted and even upset that he's offering insect ice cream, curious customers have mostly liked the new flavor. I wonder what they said when he wasn't around. Now picture the scene. You're just about to do an interview with a guest sitting in a small cafe in downtown Houston, Texas. You're obviously recording the interview, and it was being filmed as well. The guy who was doing this is a guy called Nathan Reeves. He had just made the remark, "It got so quiet in here," he says, but let me play you the actual bit of video. And then an SUV comes right through the window, smacks right into the side of the building, exactly where they're sitting. Glass smashes everywhere. But I'll just play the bit of audio for you when it actually happened.
It got so quiet in here. How did I...
How extraordinary is that? Imagine that. They're sitting doing an interview, and the next thing, making the remark, things seem very quiet. And the next thing, this thing comes literally through the window, smashing the place to bits, and glass going everywhere. A miracle. The two guys, the guy interviewing and the guy being interviewed, actually survived in terms of not being physically really badly hurt or even killed if it came to that. But anyway, the video shows Reeves scrambling away after the impact slammed, and indeed his guest as well, breaking window panes against him and his guest. So he said it was a shock, a lot of adrenaline at first, but then after we made sure everybody seemed to be okay, I was just freaking out that I got the whole thing on film. Reeves had been filming his interview with guest Alexei Reyes, a 22-year-old Houston photographer. It was Reeves' fifth episode for his YouTube channel, November Romeo. A woman driving the SUV with two passengers had just run a red light and then struck another car before crashing into the cafe where more than a dozen people were inside. The podcast episode showed the crash and was uploaded to Reeves' YouTube channel and, as you can guess, has amassed tens of thousands of views. Days later, Reeves said he's still processing the crash and that he found shards of glass in his hair and arms later in the day. "The more days pass by, the more I'm realizing how badly it could have ended," he said. And that is a fact. But thanks be to God, everybody was okay. And they are just some of the stranger news stories making the news this week.